Even in a country used to atrocities and war rapes, the brutal crimes against young girls in the Democratic Republic of Congo has shocked locals and left medical staff aghast. As many as 50 young girls aged 18 months to 11 years have been taken from their homes, gang-raped and abandoned. At least two have died. You might think that when young girls are taken from their homes and raped, official reaction would be swift. But in the DRC, the wheels of justice have moved painfully slow, until now. Lauren Wolfe is a columnist at Foreign Policy magazine and the director of the Women Under Siege project. She travelled to the Democratic Republic of Congo to investigate the attacks.
These terrible gang rapes of little girls began 3 years ago in June. So it's been about 50 little girls, age 18 months to 11 years old, who have been abducted from their homes individually during the night, taken to a nearby field, gang raped, and then left there to be discovered. And it's been a very mysterious kind of situation because the families in these small, basically one-room shacks don't wake up, for the most part, when the girls are taken. So nobody's been able to kind of understand how this is being carried out or who exactly is doing it.
Now, you mentioned there before about this curious incident where the families seem to be unaware that their child has been abducted. Has there been speculation about what's behind the form of the attacks?
For years, the families have been speculating that there's some sort of witchcraft or sorcery involved, and that's not an uncommon belief in this part of the country. And they say that a magic powder was likely sprinkled over their house that kept them from waking up. In the course of my investigation, I kind of, wondered, isn't it possible that there is a real powder being concocted? You know, this is an incredibly fertile country with all kinds of herbs and plants growing, and it turns out that that is likely the case, that there is an actual anesthetic being used in the course of these crimes.
These young girls are already malnourished because of the nature of where they live and, their families. What access do they have to medical care?
There is a local clinic and a local hospital, but part of the problem at one point was when the girls were being raped and then brought to this clinic, the evidence was being washed off of them because the doctors and nurses just didn't know better. So they were losing evidence. I met three of the little girls when I arrived in Bukavu at the end of December at Panzi Hospital. One was 3 years old, one was five, the other was six. And all of them, as far as I know, had fistulas from rape, and they were all being treated at Panzi. So many of the girls, yes, will have ongoing medical conditions for the rest of their lives.
Are these what some people have described as war rapes, which we've seen, of course, in the DRC before, or is this something completely different?
For the first couple of years when these attacks were happening, they were being treated as individual cases and certainly not looked at as part of the ongoing war. But at the same time, there are a lot of demobilized soldiers in this town, Kavumu. The field where the girls are being left is farmed by these demobilized soldiers. And it slowly became clear while I was investigating that there is a kind of militia carrying out these attacks, which means, in a strange way, it's actually a good thing because it means that the cases are now being handed over to the military justice system, which is slightly more functional than Congo's civilian justice system.
Do you get the impression that the government is willing and able to act?
I did not. What was very surprising was because I felt so frustrated having all this information in my hands and knowing that the government had a main suspect and for whatever reason was not arresting him, I wrote an op-ed in The Guardian, and 12 hours later the arrest warrants had been issued and the men taken into custody.
Now the good news, of course, is that there have been some arrests. What do you know? What can you tell us about those?
On Tuesday morning at about 5 a.m., 120 military personnel went and arrested 68 men, including the ringleader, the suspected ringleader of this group.
Are you willing to give us the name of the man who seems to be the alleged ringleader?
So the man who is the ringleader is actually a member of parliament for the province. His name is Batumike Rukinbanya. And he was commanding this kind of homegrown militia.
And finally, Lauren, for those poor young women, those very young girls who were gang raped and abandoned, what sort of future do they have?
I met with many of them, and most of them have very flat, traumatized affects. They talk about how they've been destroyed, that their bodies are destroyed. A few of them have been so ostracized in their schools. They've been stigmatized that their parents have taken them out of school. It's really a bleak future at this point. They are receiving therapy through some NGOs, but who knows how long that can go on. At this point, I'm just, my heart is with these girls. It's going to be a very long recovery.
Investigative journalist Lauren Wolf speaking to me on Skype from New York.